Chapter 2. Marriage Brings Us Together. The next morning, Ben wakes early as usual. Although he doesn't exactly sneak off, it's a close thing. Poe is still asleep when he leaves the room to find food and appropriate clothing for the day, sprawled out on one side of the big bed, his foot sticking out from under the covers. He looks scruffier in the pale light of day that filters through the curtains, younger, perhaps, as well. Ben huffs an irritated sigh at his own romanticism and gathers his clothes for the cleaners. He can't afford attachments or distractions. In less than half a year, he'll be running a planet. One night will not translate into some kind of foolish crush. Furthermore, he thinks, surely Dameron has plenty of admirers he'd rather spend time with. Of course, although Ben prides himself on being in control of his inclinations, this would be the one time he finds himself uncharacteristically unable to contain the anxious twist of his stomach when Poe comes down to sit with him at the breakfast table and flashes him a bright grin. And later, while they're signing the stack of documents that bind them in partnership and solidify the trade and political alliances between Yavin 4 and New Alderaan, when Poe catches his eye, he's horrified to find himself looking away shyly. Poe finishes first and stands, placing a brief hand on his shoulder before he leaves. Ben fixes his gaze resolutely on his own paperwork. He can keep busy. This attraction will burn itself out soon enough. It's easier said than done, however. Although the majority of his days are soon taken up by the ministerial council, wrangling of this or that city lord, and his mother's latest senatorial plot, he and Poe still share a bed and a nighttime routine which requires a minimum amount of contact and conversation. After the first day, they separate to attend to their respective affairs, but Ben returns that night to find Poe's bag still at the foot of his bed, empty now, and Poe's clothing in the closet next to his. His dress uniform is folded and stowed on the shelf above the rack. There's a holovid player on the table next to the water dispenser, and a stack of discs. His boots have found their way next to Ben's in the outer room, their worn softness contrasting with the sleek and well-polished black of Ben's own boots. In the morning, he pulls them on and straps them up before he goes to train with New Alderaan's small fleet, whipping them into shape, Ben presumes. And Ben likes to watch him from the other room and pretend he's not looking. They haven't even had sex again. Ben is too prideful to ask, and he wouldn't expect Poe to initiate. It isn't as though he's given his overactive imagination more fuel. It's only that he can't help remembering Poe touching his face and saying, "You look good like this." His flushed cheeks, the head of his cock peeking out from his fist as he came. Ben jerks off, thinking about it as discreetly as he can, and afterward almost invariably feels ashamed. A week into their marriage, Poe leaves for a flight drill in inter-system space. It's only a 5-day mission, but Ben still misses him. He throws himself into his work, determined to get over his infatuation while he can. There are plenty of distractions. Leia has him working on some project of hers, the details of which she won't tell him, only that it involves endless requests for funding from the Senate, and meetings she has him arrange with a few governments he knows they're on good terms with, who are strong allies. There are rumors, though, rumors of strange ships in the Outer Rim which Ben feels in his gut are connected to Leia's machinations. She's more clever than most people give her credit for. Though she's still one of the most respected senators in the New Republic, Ben knows her influence has waned in the last 10 years, and she has more trouble arranging the Senate to her liking than she used to. And whatever she's planning now, she's going about it more delicately than she ever has. "I know you're fishing for information," Leia informs him sharply when he hands her a disc containing a half-finished grant form. He returns her scowl, not in a good mood today. Minister Batu has been giving him trouble over a trade route between New Alderaan and the Yerubian system where he has family. Some Alderaanians chose not to settle on New Alderaan after the destruction of their home planet, which Ben can't blame them for, but a few consider themselves more than expatriates and have allies within the Council working to turn the politics in their favor. Fewer tariffs, stronger contracts, military alliances. Ben hates walking the line between putting his people first and appearing compassionate toward other survivors. "I can't complete it if you don't tell me where the funds are going," he replies. Leia presses her lips together and sighs. She scrolls through the form and then takes the disc and gives the holopad back to him. "This is good enough. I'll take it from here." Ben tucks the holopad away. She's already turned back to her desk, her shoulders a stiff line under her jacket. He's disappointed. He thought she'd take the bait, her dislike of paperwork being notorious. "That's it?" "Ben, please," she says. "Fine." He turns on his heel and strides out. The sharp sting of disappointment never really lessens with age. He could be a boy again, hoping that his parents will show up to watch his droid race. It's just as humiliating now to be so easily dismissed. The situation with the Yerubian system doesn't improve over the next few days, and Ben spends his evenings after council in something of a funk, wondering if his opinions will really be given any more credence after his coronation. He's certainly not the youngest regent to take the throne, nor even the most inexperienced. Still, he seems to have inherited Leia's reputation for being unpredictable and rebellious, without any of her charm, or indeed her history of heroics. He finds himself sitting on the wide, curving arc of the balcony outside of the receiving room, after an unsatisfying dinner during which Leia remained evasive and Han asked him uncomfortable questions about things he hasn't been interested in since he was 12. The usual gamut of family dinners. And he tried not to lose his temper. He's drinking something foul and unnecessarily strong, but there's no council tomorrow, thank the Maker, and he can damn well indulge himself. He's well into his third glass when he hears the door slide open. "I thought I saw the light on out here." It's Poe, and his heart leaps unbidden into his throat. "You're back early." He turns back to the view with an air of nonchalance. "One of our squadrons ran into some trouble in an asteroid belt. We had to escort them back to Chandrila." Poe comes up to the railing and, to Ben's surprise, sits down next to him. A sigh escapes him and Ben glances over. He looks tired, his hair still sticking up every which way, and a grim frown at the corners of his mouth. "It was just a training mission. We should have been able to handle it." Unthinkingly, Ben reaches over and grips his arm in sympathy. Poe drops his head down onto the bars of the railing. "Whatever you're having looks pretty tempting right about now," he says. "It's vile," Ben says. "I'll get you a glass." Drinking one's sorrows away, as it turns out, never fails as a universal bonding mechanism. Halfway into the bottle, Ben finds himself telling Poe about growing up with parents who were heroes to the rest of the galaxy, but who grew more and more distant as Ben left childhood and became his own person. Unhappy, quiet, and introspective. So unlike either of them. "My mother was always terrified I'd show signs of force sensitivity," he snorts. "Maybe I wouldn't have ended up in this position if I had. Can you imagine me as king of anything?" Poe pours him another drink and hands it to him. "As surprising as it may sound, I can." Ben eyes him skeptically. "I suppose you have only known me for 3 weeks. "I see how hard you work," Poe says seriously. "I think anyone would be a fool to underestimate you." The words twist and squirm uncomfortably in his mind, like Poe is trying to convince him with more than just alcohol-driven sincerity. Ben shakes his head. All right, so what's your story? How did you end up here? He waves a hand around. Poe snorts, head tipped back to look past the shield and into space. You say here like it's a bad place to be. I just always wanted to fly, so I did. And if I wanted to keep flying, I had to get better, learn to lead people, to strategize, to keep my wits together in the face of danger. It wasn't easy, maybe, but it was simple enough for me. His gaze drifts to Ben. I've always known what I wanted. After that, they settle into a kind of alliance. Although the day-to-day of their lives doesn't often line up, they are similar in more ways than Ben would have thought, and while it's not exactly the two of them against the world, they still snatch moments together where they can to commiserate. Dinner, or a late-night drink, or a cup of caff in the morning. They rarely come to bed or wake at the same time, but Ben finds to his dismay that when he can't sleep, he lies awake and listens to Poe breathe, and wonders if he dares wake him up to ask for a kind of comfort he'd never imagined having. Of course he doesn't. He keeps Poe at a literal and figurative arm's length, in spite of their tentative friendship. He can imagine Poe's reaction. Hesitation, that little frown of discomfort before he agrees, because he thinks it's the right thing to do, or out of pity. 4 months pass swiftly. Before Ben has time to blink, his coronation is around the corner. He doesn't feel any more or less ready than he did when he was 18. It's still unimaginably strange. And yet he knows he'll only be doing the same familiar thing he's done for the last 5 years. He's thankfully not involved with the preparations, but the squabbling among the ministerial council members takes a sharp turn for the worse as the date approaches. He's aware that on some level it's because those most ambitious ministers are used to having unfettered access to the Alliance, and they're flexing their muscles, making things difficult for him before his official veto power kicks in the hopes that he'll be cowed by their show of strength. Even so, the council is usually of one mind about two important things, direction of military resources and support for the new Republic Senate. What he's hearing now is a worrying schism between what appears to be two fronts. One, a growing number of ministers and city lords putting forth isolationist policies in session, advocating less military support for the new republic and more focus on the new Alderaan economy. The other, an old guard of sorts. Ben has been following the politics of New Alderaan for nearly 15 years, and he's never seen anything like it. It's unsettling, and I can't put my finger on why, he tells Leia as he follows her down the corridor toward the Senate Hall. This is the last time he'll be off-planet until after the coronation, and Council has been suspended in his absence. It's technically a holiday. He has no meetings to attend or allies to cozy up to, but he finds that he can't unwind. Leia flicks the train of her robe in annoyance. These old idiot senators! She snaps, ignoring him. Something's put her in a mood. They've sent me some private message like I'm some brainless twit to be scolded. I could bring this whole place down on their heads and the New Republic Alliance wouldn't bat an eye. Mother, Ben interrupts her. She turns and pins him with a look. The funny thing is, there was a day when she could have brought them to heel with a few well-placed words, and she didn't because she respected their age and experience enough to listen to them. Politicians have short memories. What? Oh, Ben, she sighs. Yes, your council. Quite right. You should be unsettled. Collectives such as the council are like a herd of nerfs, lumbering and obvious in their behavior, but surprisingly sensitive to disturbances in the environment. This upheaval is only a sign of things to come. So what am I to do about it? I can't let them shoot off in two different directions like that, he says. Well, there'll be more than two directions soon enough, I can imagine. Keep them in line. It's not unusual for a regent's first act to be stamping out all opposition. People expect it. Now, if you don't mind, the Senate is nearly in session. The doors to the Senate Hall slide open. Beyond them is a tumultuous din. Leia gives him a parting nod and strides through, closing the doors behind her and leaving him in silence. The Senate session doesn't go well, but Ben hears little of it beyond that. Not long afterward, Poe bursts into the room they're sharing, out of breath and looking distinctly unhappy. I have to leave, he says. There's a mission. Ben looks up from the holo reel. Now? We're heading out in 2 standard hours. Poe grabs his bag from beside the bed. You're not coming back to New Alderaan with us? Ben sits up. The number of missions has increased steadily over the last 3 months. Poe is hardly planetside for more than a few days at a time. Where will you be? Poe shakes his head, his mouth tight. It's classified. I have military clearance, Ben points out. Not for this, says Poe. When will you be back? Don't know. Poe rolls up his extra pants and shirt and stuffs them into the bag. Anything you can tell me? He asks stiffly. Come on, Ben. Poe sighs, slinging his bag over his shoulder. I can't tell you for your own safety. I know you're no stranger to that. Of course I'm not. I just hoped that by the time I passed the age of majority, people would stop using it as an excuse. Ben snaps. I can protect myself. Well, maybe I want to protect you. Poe crosses his arms. Whatever we're going into is messy, and I'd prefer it if you didn't know if... He stops and takes a deep breath. When I come back, we'll have a drink, and I'll tell you everything, okay? And that's that, really. Because no matter how stubborn Ben is, he's coming to realize that Poe is equally as stubborn, if not more, especially when it comes to Starfleet business. Ben expected him to be dedicated. A person didn't get to be wing commander at such a young age without a certain kind of drive. But he hadn't expected to want him to be otherwise. Fine. He sits back against the cushions and tries to fit his frustration back into his head where it belongs. Be safe. Poe gives him a long look and bites his lip, but says nothing further. Ben returns to New Alderaan and tries to corral his ministers with some successes and some rather notable failures. There's no word from Poe, although he doesn't usually send messages during a mission. There's no word on when he'll be back, either. Another week passes, and a sour, twisting feeling turns slowly in the pit of Ben's stomach. He finds himself sitting out on the balcony in the early morning before the sun rises, watching ships streak to and fro across the sky. At night he dreams, and although he stopped having night terrors at 10, these dreams are more vivid than usual, and the lingering panic they inspire makes him afraid to go back to sleep. Instead, he drinks caff and wonders how anyone can live through caring about another human being. And in the morning, he showers and dresses and goes through his day mechanically. 2 days later, Leia informs him in no uncertain terms that no, she does not have access to classified Starfleet mission briefings, so Ben does the next best thing. He goes to see Han. Han's little shop is a familiar mess, and being there is instantly grounding. Ben doesn't visit often these days, but as a child he had spent a great deal of time there, and there's a particular smell to it that he recalls, and the sounds of shouting in the streets and younglings screaming and the clanging engines out by the racetrack haven't changed at all. Even the shop itself is much the same as it was 15 years previous, dusty and cluttered the way Han had bought it from its last owner. His father looks older now, though, his hair fully gray and more lines at the corners of his mouth. He stares at Ben in a completely new way, too.
"You look good," he says.
"Thanks." Ben is pretty sure he looks like he hasn't slept in a week.
"How's the shop?"
The shop is off-island in the main city, where Ben hardly ever goes. He's taken a nondescript speeder from the lot, but for once he listened to the voice in his head that sounds suspiciously like his mother, and brought a driver along. It would be embarrassing to be kidnapped just a few days before his coronation. The driver stands near the doorway, clearly the most uncomfortable here out of all of them, dressed in a conspicuous black robe that cuts away to a tight black fighting outfit, and wearing a blaster at her hip. Han keeps glancing over at her.
"Fine, fine," he mumbles distractedly, shuffling some chips around on the counter. "What can I help you with, or did you come down here to chat?"
"No, Dad, I didn't come to chat." Ben snags one of the chips.
"Are you making bets on your racers again? I thought you stopped doing that."
Han gives him a sly smile.
"A gambler never stops. He merely takes a hiatus. I've won some good money on those racers. I fixed up the Falcon's hyperdrive and..."
He pauses. "Anyway, what did you come to talk about?"
"Not here," Ben says, his gaze cutting away to the driver. He has no doubt she'll report back to Leia on his whereabouts, but he'd rather she not be able to repeat their conversation word for word.
"Out back, then." Han leads him through the back bay where tiny mech droids swarm all over his latest racer, chirping at each other in their miniature voices. They've always given Ben the creeps, but they are undoubtedly the best of the bunch, much more agile than your average space-ready pilot's droid, and built for long-term problem mapping.
"Still using the little bugs, I see."
Ben eyes them as they pass, and one of them beeps a greeting at him.
"Well, you know, I love to hate 'em," Han replies with a shrug. "They're great for shop work, but I still can't keep them from chewing up a racer's engine and just doing whatever the hell they want. Got a mind of their own. My jockey ends up spinning out in the middle of the 20th cycle, and I get investors coming in left and right demanding to know what I did to the rear engine. I guess there's still nothing like a mechanic's personal touch."
"Did you fix the issue with the ion booster?" Han eyes him as if he knows that Ben is buttering him up.
"Sure did," he says,
and he can't keep a note of pride from creeping into his voice. "It was just a couple of loose wires way up inside the canister. Had to take the whole damn thing apart. My hands aren't up for that kind of work these days. Could have used a younger pair."
Ben makes a face. Han can't guilt him as easily as his mother. The man was barely present after his 9th birthday, and he's not bitter about it anymore, but he doesn't feel any particular loyalty either. But he does recall mechanics being one of the few things he'd been interested in for its own sake.
"Maybe another time," he says, and Han snorts.
"Look, I know that ship has flown. What is it then? Matrimonial troubles?"
"I suppose you could say that," Ben says darkly. "What do you know about Leia's pet project in the Senate?"
Han stops with his hand on the door.
"Not a lot. Why?"
"Well, she seems to think I'm stupid or blind or both, because she's been sending Dameron off on missions for the last month at least, and he's passing them off as Starfleet business."
A frown creases his father's forehead and he opens the door and ushers Ben through.
Sit,
he says, taking a seat himself on the stoop. The alley behind the shop is quiet and overgrown with weeds, more so than it was the last time Ben was here. In truth, it had only been a hypothesis of his. The timing of Poe's latest mission had been just right. But Han's lack of denial solidified it in his mind, and it was bracing to have it confirmed so easily, like dunking his head in a vat of cold water. He sits, the air rushing out of him in a breath.
I shouldn't be telling you anything, Han's saying. Your mother would have my hide.
Ben clenches his hands in his robes.
For telling me what I deserve to know? She doesn't want you to be distracted,
Han says.
Well, I'm distracted. So tell me, where is Dameron?
I don't know. Ben opens his mouth, and Han holds up a hand to forestall him.
Hang on, kid. She didn't tell me where they are. All I know is they're somewhere in the Outer Rim, close to the unknown regions. What I do know is that they're on their way back. I'm meeting them in neutral space outside the Chandrillion system in 2 standard days.
Ben's heart jumps.
Why are you meeting them? Do they need help?
Yeah, Han says.
From what Leia said, they're going to need all the help they can get.
Ben doesn't make it into the Millennium Falcon with Han. Leia finds out about their conversation, of course, and forbids it. But he does, with some effort and serious headbutting, get onto the command ship that's meeting them within Chandrillion space. When Poe's B-Wing comes screeching to a halt in the landing bay on the viewscreen, Ben gathers his robes about him and sweeps past the door guard with as much dignity as he can muster before breaking out into a run. He arrives in the bay out of breath, heart pounding, in time to see Poe helping a youngling in a too big flight suit down from the cockpit. Around them are similar scenes. Poe's cohort disembarking with one, sometimes 2, children in tow. Ben stops short in the doorway. Someone spots him and yells something indistinct, and Poe turns to see him. Shock registers on his face, and he scoops up the boy with almost no effort, and turns his face down to say something to him as he strides toward Ben.
What's going on?
Ben asks as he approaches. Poe reaches out and grips his arm, giving him a wild grin.
This is Finn, he says of the boy. Finn, this is my husband, Ben. Remember I told you about him? I'm going to put you down now, okay?
The boy nods, his eyes fixed on Ben. He can't be that young, but he's curiously quiet. Poe deposits him on the ground and sweeps Ben into a tight hug. Tentatively, Ben reciprocates. Poe jams his face into the crook of Ben's neck and mumbles something indistinct, his breath warming the little patch of bare skin there. He pulls away and says more clearly,
I can't believe you're here.
Ben stares at him.
I can hardly believe you're in one piece.
Then he remembers suddenly that he wouldn't have been here in the first place if either Poe or Leia had had their way.
This is what you couldn't tell me about? Some kind of rescue mission?
Poe looks confused for a second, and then his face clears and understanding dawns, and he looks significantly less pleased.
You found out. That's why you're here. Of course. She wouldn't have told you.
Yeah, I found out. Ben growls, hurt.
Are you and Leia working with each other? I thought this was some kind of under-the-table private commission, but if you're in on it...
He sputters, rapidly losing the thread of his thought as Poe's expression grows more serious.
Not right now, Poe interrupts him. I need to take Finn to the medbay with the others.
When the hell else are you planning to tell me the truth? Ben manages to get out.
The sour thing in his gut has twisted into some unrecognizable form. He's angry, but he also feels kind of sick. I can't believe you stood there and lied to my face every time you went off on a mission. Poe looks down at the kid, and then back up at Ben, and then kneels. Hey, he says. You remember Jessica? The one with the blue uniform? You see her over there? The kid nods. Yeah? Go with her and make sure you take care of whoever she has with her. They probably need your help right now. He pats the kid on the shoulder. I'll come find you as soon as I can. The boy nods again. He takes off without another word, rocketing through the crowd toward a woman in a blue flight suit with a long dark braid. Poe stands up and watches him go for a second. Then he turns to Ben. I didn't lie to your face. You told me. Poe interrupts him again. I told you the truth every time, and when I couldn't tell you the truth, I admitted it. You omitted the ultimate truth, which was that your missions were for Leia, not the Starfleet. Ben says. Then an awful thought occurs to him. Is that why Leia put your name on the list? Because you were already working together? Poe frowns. What list? The list of people I could marry, Ben says sourly. No, there was a list? Never mind. Poe shakes his head. It wasn't like that. She approached me after a mission one day, and I thought she was acting in extension of the Senate, although it quickly became clear she wasn't. Not always, at least. Look, I trust Senator Organa, and I believe in her. So far, she's done nothing to make me think I've misplaced my trust. She felt that until your coronation, it wasn't safe to share counsel with you, and I agreed that I would follow her lead. Ben clenches his hands in his robe. Now would be an excellent time to share counsel, I think. Yes, Poe agrees quietly. I guess it would.